We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator DePalma, I'd like to ask you about Medicaid, an issue that consumes a lot of money in the state budget. What do you say to critics who say that Governor Raimondo is not so much reinventing Medicaid, but mostly trimming funding for it? Is that a valid criticism, or do you see it otherwise?
I disagree. Having been a part of the Medicaid Reinvention Work Group in 2014 timeframe, there were many areas that looked at to try and figure out how to cut some funding out of there. We didn't change anything with eligibility. Didn't change anything with regards to the rates that were being provided, but to figure out how to make it more efficient and more effective by looking at whether high utilizers, which consume a good portion of the Medicaid.
Before we go to Scott, I'd like to ask you about the PSOCs. I think you were the senator who made the observation that the Senate held more hearings, a greater amount of time on the PSOC stadium proposal than on the pension overhaul in 2011. There's about a week left in the legislative session, according to the best estimates. Do you think the House of Representatives is approaching the PSOCs issue with enough urgency?
I believe they are now. We did spend in excess of over 30 plus hours. And we had on pension 29 and a half. I sat through every single minute of the pension. I was not at all of the PSOC hearings, the majority of them. But I think what came out of those hearings was a good piece of legislation.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering back on Medicaid, which you know an awful lot about, Senator. Is there kind of a shell game here where the governor cuts money to providers and then the providers, the hospitals, nursing homes, et cetera, go out, hire lobbyists, and lobby it up, and then they put the money back in the budget, as we've seen in this latest budget?
Got you right on. We certainly have seen that. I hope I'll be back, but I'll still make a point, either regardless of that, during this next, once we pass the budget, to work with the administration to ensure what we saw this year does not happen again.
It was about a year ago when there was a change in leadership in the Senate. Dominic Ruggiero took over as president from Teresa Pivoit. How would you describe the biggest differences in the Senate now that Dominic Ruggiero is the president there?
I think Dominic and Senator Ruggiero and Senator Pivoit were very close. They worked together for years. The same leadership team pretty much advanced on with Majority Leader McCaffrey and Majority Whip Mary Ellen Goodwin. I think it's continued to be very collaborative. Senate President was always worked on delegating responsibility, delegating issues to folks that were very passionate about things, bringing back those, interacting with those folks and saying this is what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. I believe Senator Ruggiero and his leadership team with Leader McCaffrey and Whip Goodwin are continuing the same process.
I'm wondering, you've been a pretty strong supporter of Governor Raimondo. Mm-hmm. Why do you think her approval ratings, her job approval ratings in several polls that we've seen now are kind of tepid?
I'm somewhat uncertain about that, Scott. I feel the same way with regards to that. If you really follow and listen to what Governor Raimondo has said, her laser focus has been on jobs and the economy. And she's done that. The results are paying off both for companies we have here, or the companies we're bringing in. That's also going to afford us the ability to invest in things like education, infrastructure, and health and human services, which I really dearly care about and many of my colleagues do. But I'm not quite certain why that's the case.
Last year, there was a dispute between the House of Representatives and the Senate at the end of session, resulting in the state operating without a new budget for a certain period of time. Do you think there's any chance something like that will happen again? And if not, why not?
I always look at things from a possibility perspective and a probability perspective. While anything's possible, I think it's very low probability. Based on what we've seen to date and we've seen so far, Chairman Connolly and Chairman Abney, been working very well.
And those are the respective chairmen of the Finance Committee, the Senate and the House?
Absolutely. And then amongst the leadership with the Senate President Ruggiero and Speaker Mattiello, along with Leader McCaffrey and Leader Sicarchi, I believe things are working very well.
You know, you're one of the few lawmakers up on Smith Hill who's actually taken a deep look at some of the tax incentives that we're giving to corporations to create jobs here. What have you discovered in some of the studies that you've done?
If I had my way and I was king for a day, and I don't want to be king for a day, any allusion that has to anything else, the Jobs Development Act, I think, is a program that has seen its time come and go.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money we provide for that, and we did sunset that several years ago. I think there was an intent to try to, or initiative to try and eliminate it. We basically capped it. So any programs, any companies that were in, and there are five, I won't mention, you can go see that online, who are in, once you're in, you're in. If you're out, you can't get back in. But there's no time limit to them. There's no sunset. based on the benefits that are being provided there.
And they're big companies. We're talking about CVS, Electric Boat. These are not like mom-and-pop grocery stores.
And Citizens as well. Since we're the big two are CVS and Citizens. Great companies from Rhode Island. Want them to stay. They're growing jobs in Rhode Island. At the same time, they're getting a $1 billion windfall at the federal level, which pushed me to move here. Look at this. The amount of money the state is spending with right care and right share, meaning insurance for those who don't have any, and supplementing folks who do have insurance that also work, it's unconscionable. And looking at that, the state of Massachusetts has done that with looking at Mass Health. I think we need to look at that in Rhode Island.
We're talking here with Rhode Island State Senator Louis DePalma, a Democrat from Middletown. And Senator DePalma, I'd like to ask you about two reform issues that appear not to be moving ahead in the legislature this year. One is to create an office of inspector general with the idea that it would root out waste and fraud and help save money. The other is a line item veto. Where do you stand on these two issues and why is it so difficult to move them forward?
I think with regards to the inspector general, so we have a person by the name of Dottie Pascal, who heads the Bureau of Audits in Rhode Island, does phenomenal work. I think most of that function can be done and is being done in her area, and there's been some recent publications about that. I'm not certain we need to add some additional people or an additional office to do that. I think we can do that within the government that we have. With regards to line item veto, I believe it's time has come to look at. Time has come to move forward with, put it to the voters and see how can we benefit from doing it. The first question people will ask, I've asked, was which form of line item do you want? Because there's 44 states, I think, that have it. I know the commission that met had their final meeting or meeting and was voted not to move forward with it, 7-2 or 7-3. I'm not certain how the votes went one way or the other. But I think we have to figure out how to move the state forward with some of the different reform efforts and see how to bring them to the benefit of all of Rhode Islanders.
I'm wondering, you represent a border area of Rhode Island right on the Massachusetts line. And I wonder how you think legal marijuana, which starts July 1st, in Mass is going to play out, number one. And number two, do you support Rhode Island moving in that direction?
So let's start with the second. Absolutely not. I do not support any legalization of marijuana. Having been involved at the local level and been involved with Substance Abuse Task Force and what they've seen and what they've heard, categorically, if it was brought before the Senate today to see whether we move forward, I would vote no. I have not seen any facts or data to substantiate why it's moving
forward. But the fact is, you're not going to be able to police it. If it's, 5 minutes away, your constituents can drive into Massachusetts and buy the weed and,
Correct. I always look at things from a policy perspective. Policy first, fiscal second. If it's the wrong thing to do, regardless of how much money we'll make from it or not, we shouldn't do it. You bring up a great issue, Scott, with regards to Massachusetts and what's going to happen there. Unclear. I think it's a new frontier that we're about to embark upon and see what's going to happen.
Finally, we can't let you go without a question on UHIP, the costly IT system for human service benefits. Do you think the state is making progress fast enough in resolving the problems with UHIP?
Short answer is no. I wish the problems were resolved yesterday. I've had several meetings with regarding UHIP over the years. I've also met with Deloitte. I don't publicize that except for today. I will have another one with them. We are moving in the right direction. I believe Deloitte has finally brought the right leadership team in. So where we started the conversation earlier, it's all about people. It's all about the right people leading.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Democratic State Senator of Middletown, Louis DePalma, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian.